It doesn't matter where self.
Amen.
Yeah. And the word is what's important. And I still think that if someone can show me in the word something I didn't know, or is wrong about what I thought before, that I will change immediately. And I mean, so I'll throw them over my shoulder. I've done it. I still think I'm going to do it again. And I wouldn't be surprised if someone in here would be one of those people who would say, now, Jack, you're wrong. It's this, so on. That'd be a great day. It'd be a red letter day for me. I mean, I'll put it on the calendar. Because I've always wanted to learn something, especially in the Word. That's what we want to learn, in the Word. Now, you have a handout that we put together for you. And this covers Colossians 1:23-1. I followed the division in the book that Tony had there. I use that book too as a staple in the library there. It was a very good book on the testimony of the Lord's privilege.
Right.
So I use this the verse division here and put this down as 23:2-1. Colossians 1:23-2-1. Now also went to the Greek and translated the Greek exactly word for word in common, not necessarily beautiful, but common English, and with no trappings. You know, I observed that most of the translations have baggage. You can tell who made it. I mean, you could, oh, well, that's a Calvinist. Oh, well, that's a Catholic. Oh, well, that's it. You say, well, you're prejudiced. No, I'm not prejudiced, except in favor of God's Word.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm prejudiced on that, for sure. And so some of these translations are not, if they have a beautiful book, and it may read well, and that's one of the main things of a translation. If it reads well, the people like it. It sells, folks. This is the world, I'm sorry. It sells. That's what they have to be interested in. So, if it doesn't sell, now nobody's going to buy a translation like this. It's word for word in the English. Now, in the Greek, it might sound a whole lot better. If you've read the Greek language, it might sound very nice. But this is English. If indeed you continue in the faith, founded and firm, and not being moved away from the hope of the good message which you heard, which was proclaimed in all creation, which is under heaven. Now that doesn't mean that Paul himself proclaimed that to all creation, but it was proclaimed in all creation, which is under heaven. And you said, was that the animals? Well, I'm not an animal, so I'm not concerned about that too much. Yeah, but if the Lord would convert the cat, I'd be happy. So, all creation. So, what does that mean? That means His Word has the eminence, the domination of all creation. Just the Word of God, a word, an expression, will change anything that God desires to change at any time He desires to change it. However, He's not going to work contrary to His Word. So we are safe in His Word. And that's the same as a great shield, as a great dome to live under, as the greatest protection you could ever have. And Paul was part of this. Now I am rejoicing in the sufferings over you and filling up the things behind of the tribulations of Christ in my flesh over his body, who is the assembly. I was happy that the boys dwelt. I'm sorry, I hope you're not offended. I call you boys. My wife gets after me all the time. I says, this, that, boy. And she said, well, they're 40 years old. Boys. Well, I don't know. I don't think ill of them. I like them. So it's not that. But anyway, on this verse, the gentleman covered this very well on the sufferings of Christ. And that reference to Acts was extremely good to bring in on that. And I think Ronnie brought that in. So the sufferings are being filled up. It's not just Paul. You may call upon, or may have already been called upon to suffer for the message of the truth of the one body. You may have already suffered for that. I bet you we could take Yadis here and just go through the crowd and have everybody tell in what way they may have suffered because they proclaimed God's word. And you ought to be proclaiming God's word, because if you don't do it, who's going to do it? Yeah, you're it, folks. You're on the blessed spot. You are it. Do it. But on the way up here, we talked to Hindus and the Cherokee Indian and all sorts of people, some of them I didn't get to know as well. And we tried to leave them with the mystery. We tried. And I think perhaps with some success, but who knows? So I said, oh, that wouldn't do no good to talk to that person. Why? No good not to talk to him, that's for sure. Will God reward you forever? Well, sure he's going to reward you for heart's effort. Yeah. I, the Lord, search the heart. I, Jehovah, search the heart. Jeremiah 17, I try the reins, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. So, according to your ways, if you're known as Mr. Jack Reiner that always talks to people about the Lord, I think that's going to be in a good dossier on you in the upon heavens. Yeah, I think that's going to be on the good side of the ledger. Yeah. So don't worry about whether this or that person is going to be saved because you said the right words. They're not going to be saved because you said the right words. They're not going to come to the acknowledgement of the mystery. You don't have to know their church background. In fact, it'd be probably better if you didn't. Talk to them as though they're a human being like yourself. And tell them about the Lord. The Hindu fellow was trying to preach his religion, which I'm a little bit aware of. But it all comes down to John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. All you might ever saw me. Well, great. So be it. I can imagine Elijah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel being concerned about insulting someone over the word of God. No way. Well, you know, someone else might do better. Someone that looks better than me. That includes about everybody. Might do better. They might. Great. Let them go for it. Do better. We're not talking about an art. We're talking about an action of God's will. Witness. And you have the prime witness. Now, there's lots of people that can tell folks how to be saved and do. But how many people can tell folks about the mystery? So I tell you what, you're on the divine hot seat. That's right. You're one of the people. Well, I hope that didn't worry you. If it worries you, I'll tell you a cure for that. Just go to the Lord and talk to Him about it. It's a cure. Fellows talking to me on the way out here, what were those things we ate at the country store or something? Cracker Barrel. He was saying something about his brother is dying of this or that and so on. He said, "What do you do about a thing like that?" I said, "Pray." That's talking to the Lord. Okay, I got a little on here, folks. I became a servant according to the administration of God given to me unto you to complete the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is completed, folks. I don't care what Muckety Muck D.D. says it isn't. It is. Ran across some stuff in some church paper that said that people can be inspired today the same as they were then. Bull. Wrong. Unscriptural. This verse proved it right here.
Amen.
The Word of God is completed.
Amen.
You have it pretty close to it in your hands. If you want to get closer, get into the grip of it. Get into it as much as you want to, can to work on it. None of most of you guys don't worry about work. And you are a workman that needs not to be embarrassed or ashamed. Both kind of similar words. Rightly slicing the Word of God, rightly dividing. You're not allowed to add or subtract, but you are supposed to work in the Word of God. Go ahead and do it. Say, "Oh, I don't have enough time." I know you don't. I know that's right. So I pray for all of you guys with good hearts that you can retire so you can work by the Word of God. Really? Oh, truly. Now, this mystery. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest. Go back to Genesis 1:14, and we'll talk about this mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations. Now, one translation that the devil has managed to put over a lot of people, and about every Bible in the world, says everlasting, eternal, so on and so forth. And I believe I read in one of C.H.'s book that the word everlasting is not found in the scriptures. And yet he uses it all the time. But that's how tricky this is. The devil gets this into our thing from years ago. We've been going to Sunday school and church for many, many years, and you've heard preachers and blah, blah, blah. And they all say everlasting, eternal, like it's an everyday concept. Well, the word is ages to ages. I looked them up one time. I think if Bullinger has it right, he has 151 of them, or 152 ages to ages, ages, so on. That's what they're translating everlasting. Eternal. God sometimes it's oppressive, but God gave time. Look at Genesis 1:14. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs. There are 12 signs of the Maseroth. That's different from the zodiac. The zodiac is the modern interpretation of the Maseroth. But the Maseroth doesn't start with Aries. It starts with Virgo. And it ends with Leah. Christ was born of the Virgin, and he ends up as king.
Amen.
Genesis 49:10. Let them be for signs and for seasons. Winter, spring, fall, summer. And for days. That's 24-hour days. And for years. Now there's where your calendar starts. All right. You say, well, what's these first three? Well, the word day in Hebrew is yom. Yom. And it's used for a lot of different time periods. However, I'm not going to say that these are millions of years. They're not millions of years because they aren't years. But it is before the calendar. Day one starts, is actually the fourth creation yom. Now, notice the rest of this verse says, from ages and from generations. This mystery was hid from all the time. And what about the 3 days before that? They're the generations. And from those two. Which means there were some sentient beings in that period of time that this mystery was hidden from. Now, what those were, you can speculate if you like, but I'd rather not. I always thought that Satan was here at this time, but then I read some things that indicate he may not have been. So I'm not going to discuss that, because that's not something we can do scripturally, really. But whatever was there before would go under the heading of generations. And the mystery was hidden from that them also. That's why it's a mystery. But the fellows were talking about the mystery, and now it's revealed. Yes, it's revealed, but you look around and walk around and talk to people, it looks like nobody heard of it. You go into one of your greatest denominational churches, Baptists. I'm a real Baptist, true Baptist. One God, Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, the thing about it is, we just went down to my son is, my grandson graduated from a Baptist church school. So we went down to the graduation, and I was pleased that he took a verse that we discussed at home, Proverbs 4:23. And we were visiting there, and a fellow came up there, a lady came up to me. She said, oh, you're Mr. Edwards. Yeah, that's me. But whatever it is that they told me, I deny it. No, I didn't say it. I didn't say that. But anyway, I wondered what was up, and she said, well, I want to thank you for that great work with Center. Well, she didn't use a word. She used some other word. I said, and I figured out, was it a word, was it linear? I said, well, yeah. I said, well, I'm astounded. Because this was like 600 miles from home. And so I said, thank you, Lord. We needed that. And anyway, this was in the midst of Baptists. I thought all of them would throw him in the fire. Because these words are in the word is interlinear of the seven Pauline epistles, the last seven. That's what that's about. And we wrote the Greek. And we didn't pull any punches. We weren't punching, but we didn't pull any punches anyway. And I just thank God for that. So, but this is just one person. I don't know if there's any other people that's got anything there or not. In a whole huge, large denomination that have, I one time worked for Dr. Lee Robertson in Chattanooga, Tennessee, in what was that? The Highland Park Baptist Church. We came in there and they had, this is special 5960 Sunday. Wow! I said, boy, we got here at a good time. And next week was, this is special Granddaddy Warbucks Sunday. And the next week was, oh, this is special Heinz 58 Sunday. Every week was something special. And they took the buses out there and they brought the people in from all over the country and filled up 2,000 or 3,000 people there every week. Well, they had me teaching the Couples for Christ class, which was the young seminary students, and they had a seminary, Baptist seminary. They didn't fool you. That's what they taught, Baptism, Baptist doctrine. Well, I was teaching the class of Couples for Christ, and they had 100 members. And about 50 of them would be there every week. And so they're prevailing. How great it would be to see that happen with us, maybe. Depends. If you had to water down the message to do it, no, it wouldn't be. If you had to compromise one scintilla, men, you guys are the leaders of this group. Don't do it. It might look good on your dossier, but not on your heavenly dossier. I guarantee you, compromise is not the answer. Now, we're not talking about get along with folks. We're talking about compromise in the scriptures. So anyway, we're going to get back here and we're going to go a little further here. Seven, 27. To whom God did will to make known what the riches of the glory of this mystery in the nations. And that's Gentiles. That's what the word Gentiles means. It means nations. That's exactly what it means. And there's the nation, Israel, and the nations, the rest of them, Gentiles. So use either term. There's no opprobrium about either using either one of them. But just to get down to brass tacks, and so you know what they're talking about. Nations means Gentiles. Now, which is Christ among you? Used to know a fellow who was big in quote the way. It's some kind of heresy. Never did get to know a lot about it. And I told him about the mystery once, and he said, oh yeah. He said, that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. in me, in you, it's Christ among you. He's not inside you. Christ is not inside of you. You are sealed with His Spirit. Read Ephesians 1:13, get the story on that to make it brief. That's the promise, is the seal of the Holy Spirit. But He is not in you. Christ is among you. And the Spirit will teach you, guide you. John 16:13, 14:26. And that's it. That's Scripture. He is not in us. And when I was a little kid, I heard this in Sunday school. I used to think, oh, Christ, we're all divine. That's what the modernistic prelates preach. We all have a spark of divinity in us. It's down there somewhere. And that guy sitting on death row because he just murdered his family and sisters and brothers, he has that spark of divinity too. Bull. Not scriptural. A murderer is a murderer. There's no spark of divinity in him. So throw out the spark of divinity, folks. It'll help you in understanding the Scriptures. Christ among you, the hope of glory. Our computer's out, so Melvin wasn't able to correct my typing. So this is probably the best typing job I ever did, only if I had two mistakes. And they say, well, you type a long, you're typing with five or six words, and then this will correct you. I said, not me. I type one or two words and mistakes, usually. But the Lord was with me, especially on this, because He knew her computer was out. So we had to do it by ourselves on this one. Whom we announce, admonishing and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. Colossians 2:9-10, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him. Who is the head? Who is the head of all principality and power? Sometimes those prepositions are important. Get them right if you can. Now, God made known His riches to Gentiles, the nations. The Jews had their chance. And they'll have another chance. But not the Jews proper. It'll be the remnant, the believers out of the Jews. And the grafted in ones from Romans 11 and Acts 20:24. I fell on the phone one day and gave me a hard time on Acts 20:24. He didn't understand. He said, give Peter a break. Give Peter a break. He doesn't need any breaks. He's in good shape. What's it got to do with Peter? I don't know. I never did get to his understanding. Could never get it. I was too thick on that one. But Acts 20:24 is where the grace of God is preached to the Gentiles. And that's to graft them in. See, they didn't have to do everything the Jews did. A la Acts 15. And if you want to read further on that, Galatians 2. Now, back to Christ. The doctrine we have is a person. Now, I was telling somebody here, Mike, Calvin's Institutes is a good place to understand the doctrine of the Trinity. And it is. It's the best place I know as far as reading one place. And the doctrine of Trinity is not very well understood these days. I've heard the preachers and the Sunday school teachers and everybody else garble it and mangle it and, oh! And if they follow that, the logic of their understanding and the way they talked about it, it's taken to ruin it. But thankfully, they don't. They don't think that far. So, anyway, Christ is our doctrine. Christ is our doctrine. His work is our work. His work takes the place of anything you could do. But all religions of the world do this, do this, do this, do this. One star, one check, blue ribbon, Sunday school kid, church member for 50 years, great old bet. You know you're getting old when you check the old bets to see if you're there. Great old bets. I read two or three of the bits. Some people were members of about two or three churches. They're hedging their bets. They think. They're going by earthly wisdom and hedging their bets. Join the Catholic Church, Lutheran, and Baptist. I don't want to cover it. Good earthly thinking, but it doesn't work. God did it all. Christ did it all. It is finished on the cross. All work is done. He did it. You can't do it. You don't have the standing to do it. You don't have the life behind you to do it. That's why he had to be incarnate. God in flesh. That's why he had to do it. For Christ also once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in spirit. He not only had to die for us, he had to raise for us. Wherefore he said when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastor teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Okay, how many saints are here? I'm going to put my hand down for a minute. You think about it, raise your hand. How many saints? If you're a saint, raise your hand. No, I'm okay. God will see those fingers. Yeah, that's right. You all know. You all know. Isn't that great? Maybe. But it puts a big weight of responsibility on you. Because you know, and they don't know. Well, how am I going to get across? I'm just right. You're all just. But you know. But I'm not a theologian. But you know. It doesn't matter. Tell what you know of the Lord. Not about the church. Not about the Pete. Not about Mike. Not even about Bob. The saintly Bob. He is saintly because he is a saint. Yet we're all saintly, believe it or not. beige and purpley on us, you know? I don't know. God made his riches known to Gentiles. Christ is now among you, the Gentiles. Remember where Colossae was? Turkey, I think. And what is today? That's Gentiles. Christ among you. Yeah. Now consider this. He is your hope to glory. He is your hope. Hope doesn't mean what the English think it means. It doesn't mean that this is a chance. It's not a raffle. It's not hitting the jackpot. If it's in the Bible and it's hope, it's actual guarantee, glorified insurance. That's what the scriptures calls hope. Glorified insurance. How's that?
That's outrageous.
Amen, brother. Somebody says amen on the board. Bless you. That's even better than the word. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall also appear with him in glory. I'm ready, Lord. Grab my hand. I mean, this is Colossians 3:4. That beats the morning news. Or beats the evening news. Beats TV. Titus 2:12-13 teaching us that denying ungodly lust, you don't need it. We should live righteously, godly, in this present world that is nasty. Love not the world, nor the things in the world. If any man should love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, because all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the vaunting of the life. Wow, what a mind part. Is not of the Father, but is of the world. I'll tell you one way you can go on about that new car. Look at the car the Lord gave me. That's different from saying, Johnny, I actually got the money to buy that car. Ain't you impressed? Hey. I remember it was two missionaries that I don't want to see. Yeah. I guess the only guy wasn't a missionary. He was just a preacher. Joseph. The other guy was a missionary candidate. He was going to the mission field. And they were praying. He asked us, the Pappy River was in, known as a prayer warrior. He came from Iowa, I think. And he would go around and pray when the rain didn't rain, and he would, God would send him rain. And so farmers would contact him and ask him to come pray. And they contacted him, had him come pray with this young fellow that's going to the mission field. And the young fellow was there to pray and said, Lord, send me a car to go to the mission field. Even if it's just an old flivver, Pappy, the beer smacked him on the back of the back, and he said, shut up. He says, Lord, he says, forgive this young fellow. We don't want any old flivver. We want a good car. Well, that's the right attitude. But it's not wanting in life. It's praising God. if that's what's really in your heart. See, that's a whole different thing. Anyway, that morning of the life is not of the Father, but is of the world. 1 John 2:15, 16. That's the end of that. But it's with us all the time. I'm glad I'm perfect, and maybe Mike might be. I don't know. Oh, Diane says no. Gosh, that's really deflating. No. We all know better than that. Now, every man can be complete in Christ. Now, Paul's labor, his labor, was people. Okay. He wasn't born of the silver spoon in his mouth, but he was born of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a rabbi, sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He had to have a profession because you couldn't be a rabbi without an earthly profession. So certainly a man of great accomplishments. What was Paul's profession? Can anybody tell me? Boy, you're right on. Yes, he was. And I've talked to some of you fellows about this, and I can't substantiate this, but since Paul was a tent maker, and he thanked God that he didn't take any money from the Corinthians, I think he earned his living making tents as he went on his three journeys. But I can't find any corroboration on that, other than what I've told you. So he is laboring for the people. He's not laboring out there making tents to have some money, put in the bank, or give to his family. And that's not necessarily wrong. I'm not saying that. But he is laboring for the people right around him now. The people he meets. The lady of the summer of purple, Lydia. The fellow that fell out of the top story, I forget his name, and almost died, fell asleep. Good lesson, I never fall asleep. Yeah, they had some things about mean little kid, his sister who went to church. And she was supposed to keep the little brat in line. And she said, no. Can you think of a good reason, brat, for not making a lot of noise in service? He said, yeah. She said, well, look at that. What is it? He said, look, everybody's sleeping. And that particular service, that might be, with a little guy, might have been better off. I don't know. I've had some of those services as I was growing up, but I wasn't like that guy. What? You don't believe me? Okay, anyway. Now, Paul was teaching and admonishing every man in all wisdom, and he wanted to present them all in Christ. He wanted his label on them in Christ. Here's another one Paul said. Here's another one Paul said. Here's another one Paul said. Wouldn't that be great? When you're standing before the Lord, there's one I talked to.
haven't seen you for, wow, you really come to know the Lord?
Well, thanks, huh? I just made a few words. Oh, but here's one Paul sent. You know, I just got happen to think we're going to be able to talk to Paul. And I think I can pretty well guarantee that everything we said today, he'll corroborate when we see him in the upon heavenlies. Paul's labor is his people, the Jew first, and also to the Greek. He is empowered by God's power working in him. He doesn't need the glory. He needs the results. God loves his people. And you know, there are still people. There are still people that will be his people that are not now. You know what? There's going to be somebody that will be saved and come to the acknowledgement of the mystery the day that he takes us up. The epiphany. Suppose it's someone you talk to. Suppose it's a friend of yours. Maybe somebody in this group today. Now, the riches of the glory of this mystery, getting back to 27, is Christ among you. That's the riches of the glory. Christ among you. And the hope is a person, Christ. The hope is a person, Christ. 1 Peter 1:23 tells us that you are begotten of him. And Ephesians 4:15 tells us that you are growing in him. Begotten and growing. Say, well, I can't grow anymore. I'm already 60, 70. Hey, you better get started growing if you haven't grown up to now. You better keep growing. I will be pleased to be growing on the last day of my life here, whether it's natural life or whether Christ takes me up. I'll be pleased to be growing on that day. It is God's will that you and I be growing on that last day. Amen. That you are a better, more devout, more faithful believer tomorrow than you are today. And I'm not saying about any, I don't know anybody today that's goofed up. But so I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm talking about growing. Growing day by day. And folks, I don't have any big send-off here except that we thank God for this opportunity to be with you in the Lord and in his word. And you can wake up everybody now. We're going to close in a word of prayer. So David, would you close us in a word of prayer?